Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Let's talk with Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Let's talk with Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And a good afternoon to you, Mark. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. You know, Cowboys have a coaching staff now. It's Schottenheimer head coach and Eberflus is defensive coordinator, as I'm sure you've seen. Now, yesterday in all of his media, Shoddy talked about, you know, wanting to do more shifts and motions. How difficult is it to install that from your perspective? Can he get that cooking in one off season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, the shifts and the motions and, you know, it's how you use that stuff, right? And, you know, the kind of philosophical approach behind that is different personnel groupings, different shifts, different motions, changing the strength of the formation, getting guys to run with your motion and adjusting your motion. And what really ends up happening to you, and, you know, I think where it becomes problematic for a defense is, one, you can out-leverage a defense by the way you can get somebody moving in motion and with speed and then snapping it when you have an advantage as somebody's following across the formation, or if they're just kicking across the formation, meaning they're playing like some type of zone, you can get an automatic leverage to maybe a wide side of the field, that type of thing. So that's one. I think the biggest thing that motion has really kind of become very prominent in the NFL, and I'll go back to San Francisco for this, is you can gain with your motions 6 to 8 inches of real estate for offensive linemen to get on, you know, the backside to cut off a linebacker to create a great angle on a defensive end. And that's really one of the big areas. So it's just an advantage of creating a little bit of leverage so that I get my guy in a better position to block your guy. And that's the really good teams. That's what they use a ton of motion for, is to really get those run game advantages.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of negative reaction to this hire. Obviously, it does just not have the eyeball or the sexiness that maybe you'd want, or a candidate for other jobs. But it kind of feels like, at least in that regard, the Cowboys are heading in the right direction, Stink?
Yeah, I mean, I like Shoddy. Shoddy's a good dude. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I mean, the issue is, and you guys know this, when Jerry comes in and says, you know, I mean, what Jerry says in the press conference, I just was like, I felt bad for Schottenheimer sitting between Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. And the look on his face was just like, would you guys please shut up? You're not doing me any favors. Like, there's so many things that were said. And I didn't listen to the entirety of the press conference, I'll be honest with you. But the pieces that I heard, the stuff we put on Breakfast Ball this morning, I was like, oh, my God, he's got to just be thinking, gosh, please. You know, when Stephen Jones talks about, you know, air quotes and saying, you know, you are our drought. You know, you guys called it a drought. And you're just like, dude, you ain't won nothing in 30 years, and you're the Dallas freaking Cowboys. And Jerry's like, hey, I'm not afraid, you know, to make a risky decision, and, you know, the odds of this working out are not good, or whatever he said. You know, of course, I'm you know, being facetious to some degree, but that's what it came out sounding like. I was like, Lord have mercy, this poor guy is already, you know, kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak, just based on the press conference.
Have you ever heard another person in the NFL qualify success as winning regular season games?
No. The whole press conference was a mess. So anyhow, but that's, you know, that's Cowboys football at this particular point in time, which is a shame to say, but it's just at this point, it's just a fact.
Yeah, it sucks, Stink. I mean, they're hanging banners for the sixth winningest franchise since 2010. It's unbelievable. They did hire Eberflus as the defensive coordinator. What do you think of that addition? Did you get to call any Bears games with him as the head coach?
Oh, yeah. I like Eberflus, and I think there's a lot of guys, you know, the old Peter Principle book where you rise to the level of your incompetence. And, you know, I think Eberflus, historically, he's very well respected as a defensive coordinator, does a really good job with that stuff. And, you know, you get the opportunity to be a head coach, and just maybe it's you don't have a dynamic enough personality, whatever the case may be, really didn't work out. I get it, but there's a lot of guys that came from either a defense coordinator or offensive coordinator that got their opportunities to be a head coach, and it never really worked out. And so, you know, those guys, I mean, Vic Fangio, hell, Vic Fangio had five defensive coordinator jobs before he got the head coaching job in Denver. And I remember sitting in a meeting with him, you know, and it was during COVID, so we had to do it on Zoom, and I hate meeting coaches. I mean, I hate meeting anybody in Zoom. I like to go meet in person. But, you know, I met with him on a Zoom, and I swear he was doing his taxes while we were having a conversation about football. Like, I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't need to talk to this guy anymore. It's like talking to your PE coach from, you know, from junior high school. So, but he's a brilliant defensive coordinator, right? So there's a big difference there. I remember talking to Kyle Shanahan about the difference between being an offense coordinator and a head coach. He goes, you know, when things didn't work well as an offensive coordinator, I locked myself into my office for 3 days. I wouldn't come out. I wouldn't shower. I would figure out ways to fix things. He goes, as a head coach, you got to get up. You got to shower every day. You got to meet the press. You got to take care of all these other issues on your football team. But, you know, everything comes across your desk. It's just a different dynamic. And then you've got to be able to address the entirety of the team. And you lose some of that ability to coach individuals. You have to coach your coaches and present to them what you want taught. And then they have to go out and present it to the players. So there's just a difference. You lose a little bit of that player-coach connectivity, and it's more coach-to-coach connectivity. And some guys handle it well. Some guys obviously don't.
What's your early read on the Super Bowl matchup?
Listen, I would tell you, if I went from a confidence pick standpoint, right, I would tell you every position with the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, I think their offensive line is better. I think their wide receiver/tight end combination is better with Philadelphia. Their running back is better with Philadelphia. I think D-line is a better combination of D-linemen, better different depth of rotation. I think their linebacking core is better. I think their secondary is better. But I think the Kansas City Chiefs have one of the greatest coaches that ever coached on offense and one of the great defense coordinators in the National Football League. And, oh, by the way, they have a quarterback whose pulse never rises, regardless of the situation. And so, you know, ultimately, I think Philadelphia is a better team, but it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And the way they have been coached and the way they play and the way they execute in critical moments, there's nobody I trust more in a critical moment. And the bottom line is, I go back to the AFC Championship game. The Buffalo Bills had everything they ever wanted. You know, people can complain about the officiating, like, whatever. I've complained plenty. I'm not going to complain anymore. But the bottom line is that Buffalo Bills got the ball. First, they chased points early in the game, which I think is stupid. Two, they got the ball with 3.5 minutes, 3 minutes and 25 seconds left with a chance to tie it with a field goal or win it with a touchdown, and they took a dump in their helmets. They couldn't convert on third down and one. They couldn't convert on fourth down and one. And then they couldn't stop the Kansas City Chiefs on a third down and nine, where they dumped it to Piron to get 17 yards. It's the first time he touched the ball all game. So say what you want, but in critical moments, the Kansas City Chiefs find a way to make a play that they need to, and nobody else seems to be able to do it like the Chiefs. So with that, I'd give the advantage to the Chiefs, even though I think Philadelphia's got a better overall roster.
Stink, do you worry at all? I mean, you mentioned right off the jump about the Eagles' offensive line better. Do you worry about their injuries, or is this going to be we get to Super Bowl Sunday and everybody's going to be fine?
Yeah, well, I think Cam Jurgens would be fine. You know, he had the back injury. He came back in the second half and played once Landon Dickerson went out. But think about this, guys. I mean, think about your all-pro guard in Landon Dickerson moves over to center, right? And you bring in a backup guard because your Pro Bowl center is out. You bring up a backup guard, and you don't miss a beat. On the first play of the game, you go 60 yards for a touchdown from Saquon Barkley on a little crack toss. And the next thing you know, Landon Dickerson hurts his knee and has to leave, and your starting center, who's out with an injury, goes back in, and you still don't miss a beat. And I don't even know who played left guard, but I'm watching the coach's tape, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? This guy's great. This guy would start on every team in the National Football League, and he's a backup for the Eagles. And I don't even know who he is, but he's just kicking ass. So, like, do I worry about it? Not really.
You're the man, Mark. We'll talk to you next week live from Radio Row in New Orleans, if you don't mind. Thank you so much for your time.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he is, Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Where we find ourselves today is Rockwall, right on the other side of the lake here, off 30 at the Brass Tap. Brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois. And we're back with an edition of The Finest. Chief, what's cooking?
What history says about Mahomes versus Dick Fangio next year in the nation.